It's chapter number 6 in your Bible. Second Kings chapter number 6. And we are going to read the same verses 1 through 7. But we're going to do our dead level best not to re-preach what we did this morning and just move on. And try to get on through the message, all right? If you're there, say amen. Bible says, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, but be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. In verse 5, the Bible said, but one was felling a beam, and the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And this morning, we began preaching on the subject, how to recover your cutting edge. As a Christian, we need to have a cutting edge. We need to be sharp for the Lord. And we need to have every bit of advantage that we can have, because we have an adversary, the devil, who tries to get every angle and every advantage over us to stop us and hinder us. And then we have a world that's just wide open in our face, pushing against us. And but when it comes to the devil, aren't you glad the Bible says greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world? When it comes to the world, listen, in and of ourselves, we're no match for the world or the devil. But with Christ in us and the Holy Ghost of God in us, we're on the winning side. We just have to maintain that cutting edge. We have to, and as I mentioned this morning, that cutting edge and that sharpness is a type of the Holy Spirit of God, the believer that is Spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost of God. And it ain't hard at all to run out and to get to running on empty in the Christian life. You can get weary in well-doing, the Bible says. You can be doing good things and get weary and wore down and just tired. But God put this text in the Scripture for a reason, and I think it's to remind us how important it is to maintain our relationship with the Holy Ghost of God and to stay full. I wonder, before we even go any further, I made the reference this morning and told y'all how many times I'd run out of gas. I didn't put none of y'all on the spot and ask how many times you'd run out of gas. But I wonder, have you thought this week more, and I want you to be honest and really answer this in your head, have you thought more about filling up your gas tank in your vehicle or filling up spiritually with the Holy Ghost? That ought to tell us right there, because I guarantee you most of us, if not all of us, has thought more about keeping our gas full in the vehicle than we have been full of the Holy Ghost. And say, amen, or old me, you can lie or tell the truth. Amen. And so this cutting edge is trying to show us and teach us and tell us how we can, as believers, when we do lose the cutting edge, when our tank does get on empty, when we've done something to grieve the Spirit of God and quench the Spirit of God, and He's no longer helping us and we're not making any advancements, there's ways to get that cutting edge back. And we said, number one, it involves concern. You got to get concerned about your spirituality before. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. You got to get concerned about your spirituality before. Praise the Lord. $915. Thank you, church. What a blessing. If you're not concerned about your spirituality, nobody else is going to be for you. And if they are, they can't do nothing to help you. It's something personally that you have to do. That's why this man, the guy beside him, didn't holler, hey, man, you lost your axe head. No, he said, alas, master, I lost it. He was concerned about it immediately. And we would be way better off if we would learn to deal with this quickly. When we let it go, the further that axe head sinks, the more empty, and the longer we stay empty, the harder it is to get back. Are you hearing me? And so we ought to be concerned. Number one, it involves concern. Number two, I just mentioned this, but it involves confession. And I said this morning, concern is not enough. A lost person can die and go to hell being concerned about their soul, but it takes that next step, and it does to be spirit-filled. It does to get our cutting edge back and be, I mean, the cutting edge of the spirit. It takes confession. Listen to verse 5 again. The Bible said, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried verbally. He cried and said, again, he cried out, he said, and God even told us what he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And so he not only was concerned about it, but he was willing to confess it. And right there is where most people get divided. Plenty of people will get concerned, but few people are willing to confess it and say, I am concerned enough about this, but I'm also willing to confess I have a problem. I'm not where I need to be spiritually. I'm not as full as I need to be. I'm not as sharp as I used to be. Amen? Well, my goodness, it's like pulling teeth this evening, trying to get you to say amen to the fact collectively. I didn't go around and ask personally, hey, Dawson, are you sharp? Are you as full of the Holy Ghost as you ever been? I wouldn't do that, would I, Dawson? I did look over during church at Dawson Brandy while the youth choir was up there and like, well, what happened to y'all? Y'all come to practice and didn't get in the choir? So I did call them out on that a little bit. But you got to be willing to confess it. When this man realized the axe head was gone, he immediately told Elisha what had happened. He confessed the fact that he had lost the cutting edge. He had lost the axe head. And by admitting that the axe head was gone, he was also admitting to the fact, listen to this, that it had become loose and he hadn't bothered to tighten it. In other words, it didn't happen all of a sudden. You ever been swinging an axe and you notice that axe head starts to move a little bit? It's a good idea to deal with that then, because you're liable to kill somebody. Or yourself. I don't want to be around somebody who ain't willing to stop chopping and deal with the loose, heavy, sharp axe head dangling. because they liable to kill you. It's dangerous. And he didn't stop. He was so concerned about getting the wood down, and so busy trying to do that he probably noticed it and said, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. I'm swinging pretty good today. I'm feeling pretty good. And probably just a few more hacks and I'll have this thing done. Listen, we got to be on our, we got to notice and pay attention when we begin getting loose in areas of our life with the Lord. When things begin to get loose, we better stop and tighten up then. In other words, all this could have been prevented. It never had to be lost if he had stopped ahead of time and dealt with the loose things in his life. We lose way too much that we could have fixed while they were just loose. I got a great illustration for that, but I'm too embarrassed to tell it. Y'all laughed at me for running out of gas, so if I was to tell you this one, oh, I reckon I might as well. Oh, goodness, I don't know if I can tell this or not. I like to get sued. When I was in Spartanburg Tech College, this is how it happened. My mama told me I had to go to college, and I didn't want to go to college. I was just like any boy who just got out of high school. I didn't want to go to no more school. And so it was time. It was the last day you could sign up. And I'd already talked her down from college to two-year technical college max. And she said, all right, but you got to do that. And I didn't have a clue. So I said, I just flipped through that book at Spartanburg Tech. Like, you know how you try to find a verse sometimes? I'm just going to open the Bible and speak, Lord. That's how I was going to find my career. And it landed on horticulture. Well, I didn't even know what that was. Sound like a scary thing to me. Horticulture. And so I said, no, I'm going to do it again one more time. And I flipped it. And it landed on automotive engineering, Ford asset program. I said, all right, I'll do it. I'll do that. And so I did. I signed up, and that's what Brother Jeff went through, and he mastered it. I didn't do too good. And listen, I was green as a cucumber. I didn't know how to change a spark plug. I didn't know how to do nothing. But I went and signed up. And what you do is you go to 8 weeks of class at Tech, and then you go to 8 weeks, they place you at a dealership, and you go 8 weeks and get hands-on training, right? Then you go back to school and do that back and forth for two years. Well, the first 8 weeks of school was fine. I didn't much know what they was talking about. I was trying to pick it up and learn. Well, then they place me at the dealership, and I'm in there with the big boys, the real men, the real technicians at the dealership. And my second day on the job, they said, hey, Rochester, there's an ambulance back there, big dually double tire, big heavy tires. I said, needs a rear brake job on it. Go knock that out for us. I was thinking, they don't know what they are asking. I couldn't have done front brake pads at the time, much less rear brake shoes. And I go back there about 8:30 that morning. I done put them brakes on and pulled them off about 11 times. Picked them big old tires and put them on, and I'd back that thing off and it'd be making all kind of racket. Finally, about 5:30, I got it right, the brakes. And I was so tired and dirty. I picked them four big old heavy tires and got them back on again. And when I got done, I realized I had 8 lug nuts left over. I said, how in the world do I got? I looked at them, and they was all on there. Well, they had them plastic ones. they had them that just looked like lug nuts. And this was stupid, and I don't recommend it. But I thought, well, 8 ought to hold it. I ain't pulling them tires back off. I ain't doing that again. I done it 48,000 times a day. I ain't doing it. And so I took them 8 lug nuts, and I threw them in the trash can, and I went home. I said, 8 out of 10 will hold it. My hand to heaven. That was on a Friday, too, so you ready to leave on Friday. Whole weekend went by. I ain't thought nothing about it. I walk in Monday morning. My boss man, not my shop foreman, but my service manager, come back through there, and he was always in his office, so he come back through there, and he said, Rochester, man, you need to talk. And he had a rag in his hand with something folded up in it. I said, oh, I thought they was playing a joke on me. He said, you remember that ambulance you worked on Friday? I said, yes, sir. He said, you leave anything off? I said, like what? He said, like these. And showed me 8 lug nuts that were left loose. Listen. He said, not only did you leave them loose and try to hide it, but that ambulance left out of here and went and picked up a man who was having a heart attack. And they got 3 miles down the road, and the 4 back tires come flying off the van. And they had to come get another ambulance to get him off there. The man lived, but the ambulance lost the tires with a man about to die in it. And it was my fault. You know why? Because I didn't deal with the loose things. And I know that's crazy. And y'all think, how could you ever do something? Because I did, and it was stupid, and it was dumb and ignorant. I get all that, and trust me, I've had to live with this my whole life. And I never, ever, ever would do that again to save my life. And he didn't even fire me. But you know what? It taught me a lesson. Don't leave things loose. Even when you think you can get by with it. Even if you think it'll hold. Because they could be dire consequences to just leaving things loose that's supposed to be tight. Are you hearing me? If that's true in the physical realm, don't you know, hey, And just as bad, and some of the looks I'm getting from some of y'all, I'm about to turn the Uzi on you. Because spiritually speaking, we've done much worse than leave some lug nuts loose on an ambulance. We're dealing with the souls of men. Are you hearing me? It would have been tragic had that man died and I'd had to live with it the rest of my life. It was tragic enough already. But we are willing and settle with living knowing things are loose in our spiritual life when they are sinners and family members of ours and good friends of ours that we know are watching us, and we know that they know we say we are saved, but they looking and they see the loose things in our life that we're not willing to tighten up in. You know what's going to happen? Sooner or later, it will catch up with you and you're going to lose it. It ain't just going to be loose. It could be your marriage that you're letting things be loose in. I had a couple down in Georgia, listen to me, they got saved, he did, she did, and they was on fire for God, and for a couple years went by, and they were like some of the most faithful people in the church, and out of nowhere, he came to me squalling one day in my office and said, "Preacher, she's run off and left me for another man." I said, "What?" I mean, it blew my mind. He said, I seen some things that looked out of place, and I noticed some things, like she'd pull, in other words, she allowed things to get loose in her life that she didn't deal with. And he even said, "It's things you've been preaching on." But she wouldn't deal with it. And now I come home and she's left a letter and she's left me. He's at the point of committing suicide. He was broke. And I got in the car with him when we found her, and I brought her and him back to my office and pleaded with that woman. And by the grace of God, she got right and left that nut she's with, and God salvaged her marriage. But I'm saying, if you leave things loose long enough, you're going to lose them. Might be a child. Hey, parents, and I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to you. We got to tighten up some things with our children. You hear me? Do you love your children? This happened today in my home. On my ride home from church, this conversation happened. Listen to me. I'm gonna use me for. I'm giving you all. I'm being the one getting shot tonight. All right. So I ain't putting nothing on you. But I'm doing this for a reason. On the way home from church this morning, one of my older daughters said, who was sitting in the back seat with my younger daughters, said, "Law Ruth, you don't need to be on that YouTube." She said, "Why? You need to be on kids' YouTube at most, because these things that just pop up on that other, that you don't need to get it in your mind to ever be imprinted on your mind, that you can't get out of your mind." Y'all listening? And I don't let my children watch R-rated movies. We've tried to protect and put standards, but just, I'm saying, we better, the devil is so cunning and crafty, and if we don't tighten up in some areas, I'm telling you, we're going to lose some things that we could have tightened up on if we'd have paid attention. Don't know who that's for. Might have been for me, but it ain't just for me. Amen. So, it involves confession. After we discover that we're lacking something, we must come to the place where we can admit that lack to the Lord. And listen, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Say, "I'm wrong. I've lost it in this area of my life. I ain't praying like I'm supposed to be." "I ain't reading my Bible like I was. And if I am, I ain't enjoying it. Here's one. I'm way more critical about people than I used to be." That's a good indicator. You know what? When you're full of the Spirit, you're gentle and long-suffering and meek. When you ain't, you snap and you're quick to judge and you're quick to say. That's the truth. Read the words of Jesus and look how slow he was to respond and how compassionate he was to respond. And boy, we need help in those areas. I think one of the hardest things for any of us to do is to admit that we got a problem. Or we lacking in an area. We want everyone to think we're on top of the heap. We have need of nothing. We're in control. And hey, my Christian life's A-okay. When the truth is, probably about 99.9 to 100% of us need to tighten up in some areas. You know how we're going to do that? Not by taking the lug nuts and throwing them and hiding them. No, it's absolutely not doing that. It's by confessing it and saying, hey, I know it's going to be work. I know I'm tired and wore out and aggravated with this stupid ambulance and these heavy tires, but I promise you, when you lose something and have to be embarrassed so bad and have to face the fact that you could have killed somebody, I promise you, I never left another tire loose in my life. Are you listening? God help us not to have to lose a child to the world to tighten us up. Lord, help us not to lose our marriage to tighten some things up. And in our spiritual life, Lord, help us to be willing to confess some things and admit some things. Say, Lord, I ain't where I need to be. I ain't where I used to be. I've left my first love, and I'm admitting that to you. Because the reality was, this man that was felling this beam and his axe went into the water, he was at a place that he couldn't fix his problem. And we get there as Christian people when all we can do to get help is say, Lord, I can't fix this, so I'm confessing it to you, and I need your help. You got to confess it. And in order to confess it, you got to understand that, hey, I got a problem. I've got an area in my life that needs attention, and I'm confessing it. Where are the honest hearts in the church that will cry out and say, I just don't have the fire of God like I used to have. I'm not as fired up as I used to be. What about it, young people? Y'all was fired up at youth camp. Y'all was screaming and hollering and shouting. Why ain't y'all like that now? Better tighten up. Better confess some things. Amen. Y'all remember youth camp? Don't look at me like I'm wasn't there. Didn't see y'all. Didn't hear y'all. Some of y'all made promises to the Lord. Some of y'all made vows to the Lord. Some of you made vows to your youth group. I heard you. Hey, listen, it's time to tighten that back up. It's time to tighten this youth group back up before you lose. Amen. What we need are honest hearts that will tell the truth about our own condition. Amen. Couldn't we have revival if everybody just admit and quit putting on and say, my goodness, my life's a mess. Spiritually, I ain't nowhere near where I need to be. Does it bother you? Does it bother you that you ain't been to the altar in a while? Or everybody please hear me and look up here, because I'm not bashful or ashamed at all of what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say is the truth. If you ain't been to the altar lately, then you're saying that you are A-okay in your spiritual life. That nothing's been loose. Otherwise, that's what this altar's for, is to come down to care enough, to be concerned enough, to come down and confess to God and say, Lord, things ain't where I need, where they're supposed to be, and I'm coming down here to get them right and to get them tight. So, you tell me, do we have a church slap full of people who are spirit-filled to the gill, or do we have a church full of people who has a ways to go and we're just leaving our problems where they are? Are you concerned? That was number one. Number two, are you willing to confess it and deal with it? And we'd be the first ones to say, the world even say this about drug addicts and alcoholics. You gotta admit you got a problem before you can get help. Y'all ever heard that? It's the same with a Christian. You gotta admit you ain't where you was before you ever gonna do something about getting back to where you was with the Lord. We need to relearn our path to the altar. We need His power in our midst, but there is a price to pay, and part of that price is confessing that we ain't where we was. Before we will ever recover the cutting edge as individuals and as a church, we must first come to the place where we can honestly admit that we can't do it, but God can. When we do, we will see souls saved. And we will see the manifest power of God again in our lives and in our church. And my, how we ought to crave that. Amen. Well, that's point number two. I'm going to stop right there tonight, because what I've preached tonight is plenty for all of us if we will deal with what's been preached tonight. If we deal with it, boy, we could really have some change this week in our lives, in our marriages, in our youth group, in our church. Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand on our feet.